Welcome to EMP, and let's open our Bibles to Psalms, Psalm 73. Psalm 73, and we're going to meditate on what the worship leader is going through in his heart. Verse 1, we'll read the whole chapter. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their mind knows no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge?" This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. Surely you placed them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward you take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell all of your deeds. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this psalm. We thank you that you are with us. God, give us a heavenly perspective when it comes to life. Help us to see the big picture. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Asaph, it says the Psalm of Asaph, and he's a worship leader, and he's written, he's been credited about 12 psalms during the time of David. And so this is what he's going through, and this is his psalm. And he begins out in verse 1 with a declarative statement, a statement of faith, a statement of belief. And he says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And then the psalm goes terrible after that. And he starts beginning to complain at his observations of life. He makes the statement, surely God is good, but as for me, and he's being very personal, very vulnerable, very honest. And the reason why I like speaking from the Psalms during EMP is because they're very real, very open, and for many of us we can identify. But he's saying, look, I know this in my head that surely God is good. In my mind, I know the theology, I know the statement of faith. I've been to church many times, I've heard many sermons in my life, and surely God is good. But as for me, my foot had almost slipped, meaning I was ready to just give up on the faith. I was ready to walk away. I was ready to detach myself from God. I nearly lost my foothold. And he's very honest. It's because, look, I envied the arrogant, and I saw the prosperity. He's beginning to describe life, and his view of life is that, you know, life is a bit unfair. Look, I'm walking with God. I'm a Christian. I'm trying to do my best, to do my quiet times, to live righteously, to do the right thing. But it just seems life is unfair. I envied the arrogant, and I see the prosperity of the wicked. Verse 4, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. Verse 5, they are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. And I don't know how many times that I personally have felt that in my life. As I look at people in the world or the workplace, and those who are not Christians, and they, it seems like they have no struggles. It seems like they continue to be strong. They continue to amass incredible amounts of wealth. They get away with things that we as Christians can't get away with. They're enjoying their lives. You look at their Facebook photos, and you're like, oh my goodness, you know, I wish I had that life. You know, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could do what they're doing. You know, and here I am as a believer, as a Christian, trying to do the right thing, trying to live humbly, trying to walk with God. And I look at their Facebook life, and it's like, man, they seem to have no struggles. They're healthy. When I have family members, let's say, that are struggling with cancer and sickness and illness, depression, mental illness, mental health problems, and you look at those guys, and they seem to be strong and healthy, and they don't seem to have any burdens, common to man. As we continue, verse 7 and verse 8, their evil conceits of their minds know no limits. And verse 8, they scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. It seems like they have so much power over us. They seem like they have so much influence over us. In fact, it seems like those, especially in the marketplace, those who are quote unquote wicked, or those who are not believers or not in the faith, they seem to have so much power and influence over our lives. In fact, it seems like that they have more power and influence over the Christians in the marketplace. Verse 11, they say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? And now they begin to mock God, and they begin to just say things in their arrogance, and they begin to taunt God, and they begin to taunt those of us who are Christians in faith. How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? And they fail to realize, that God knows everything. Verse 12, this is what the wicked are like, always carefree, and they increase in wealth. I wish I was like that. I wish I was all carefree and increased in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain I have washed my hands in innocence. You ever think that, you know, what's the point of coming to EMP? What's the point of coming to church? What's the point of going to house church? What's the point of, you know, doing quiet times? I mean, you know, what's the point of fasting? Maybe you've done these things, and you're like, you know, nothing is changing, nothing is happening, nothing is, you know, what's the point? And the writer of the psalm is feeling that exact same way. Look, I've been doing all those things. Nothing is changing in my life. Nothing is getting better. And I look at the wicked, and their lives are better. Their lives are happier. Their lives are more, you know, fun. And their lives are the life that I want, and I'm doing all these things, and it's like, what's the point? Surely I'm doing these Christian disciplines. Surely I'm walking this faith life. Surely it's in vain. What's the point? I feel most like that when I'm exercising or working out, you know, and you know, you go to the gym and you run, you know, on the treadmill for, you know, 20 minutes, and I don't know if this is you, but this is me. Immediately, I go to the mirror and see if anything's changed. And obviously, nothing's changed. And then I get discouraged. And because I get discouraged, I have little motivation to work out the next time. Or, you know, I'll, you know, do some push-ups and things like that. Or, you know, whatever it is, working out, for me, you know, probably not you, but I immediately, you know, after that session, I'm like, okay, you know, did I lose 5 pounds? I go on the scale, nothing's changed. I'm like, what's the point? In fact, you know, you may try to work out and, you know, dedicate yourself to do that for a week or a month, and you go to the scale and nothing has changed, or you look at your body and you're gaining weight, you know, and it's like, what's going on here? And for the soul and the spirit of this psalm writer, that's what he's feeling. He's like, what's the point? I'm doing all these things. I'm seeking God with all my heart. I'm trying so hard. And surely in vain, I've kept my heart pure. And surely in vain, I've washed my hands in innocence. All day long, I've been plagued. I've been punished every morning. Maybe you've been coming out to EMP every morning and this is how you feel. I've been punished every morning. This is just how he feels. Verse 16, when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. You know, you're processing in your mind and you're thinking. And it's like, now maybe your perspective of God has even changed. Like, what kind of God am I serving? What kind of God is this? You know, everything that I'm going through, it actually feels very oppressive. It feels very restrictive. It feels very law. You know, all the things that I have to do in obedience to him, it feels oppressive. When I try to understand all this and make sense of all this, it feels just so oppressive. And then he says in verse 17, the game changer, until I enter the sanctuary of God. And see, now the psalmist, his perspective, I mean, he's just talking about how he feels like life is unfair, and it's because he's only seen part of the picture. And as we begin to realize, as he enters into the sanctuary, that success has nothing to do with godliness. It's true. Those who ignore God, those who even hate God, may have more, you know, more wealth and power than those who love God. That's true. That's fact. Christians will suffer. The Bible says that, you know, while non-Christians seem relatively unaffected by life difficulties, you know, the enemy doesn't have to do a lot of, you know, work on the ungodly. But when it comes to the godly, there's a lot of attack and things like that. And so, you know, the writer sees all of this prosperity by the wicked, and he's struggling in his faith, and so he sits down and he writes this, and then he realizes, until verse 17, he enters the sanctuary of God. Then he understands his final destiny. And then in 18, he writes, surely you place them on slippery ground. Remember the allusion to verse 2. For me, my foot had almost slipped. But now as he enters into the sanctuary of God, as he understands this heavenly perspective, that his perspective right now is not a full picture, it's only partial. But as he enters into the sanctuary of God, he says, oh, I get it now. Surely not my foot, but surely you've placed them on slippery ground. And if you've ever slipped, you know, on something, you know, slippery, the consequences is a fall. And the you know, the levels or the spectrum of damage to those falls is large. It could be nothing. It could be a scratch. It could be a broken bone. It could be head trauma. And you know, worst case scenario, depending on the height of the fall and the slip, it could mean death. And so this is the imagery. He's saying, surely you place them on slippery ground and you cast them down to ruin. And how suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away. Verse 21, he realizes that his heart was grieved and his spirit was embittered. But he says, he gives this incredible image in verse 22, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Basically, he's saying, I'm an animal. And if you know animals don't have the ability to think on a higher plane. They don't have the ability to think cognitively, that there is more than their immediate stimulus. He's saying to God, and this is such a humble admission, God, I'm no better than an animal. I was senseless and ignorant, and I was just as dumb and ridiculous and stupid as an animal, a brute beast before you, because I couldn't see, I couldn't figure it out. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you take me into glory. And then we get into verse 25, the well-known, famous part of this passage. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. As I meditate on that, and I want to encourage us for this morning, for that to be our meditation as you seek God. God's, as I look at my surroundings, as I look at my workplace, as I look at the people around me, and as I look at even my family, and as I see all of this nonsensical things going on, and the envy in my heart, and the bitterness in my heart is grieved. Lord, who do I go to? Who else do I have? I have nothing Whom have I in heaven but you? There's nothing on this earth I desire besides you. I mean, that is a great, great statement. That instead of desiring anything else, instead of desiring power or influence or wealth or fame or fortune or anything, God, you are the only thing that I desire. And may that be our prayer today. You are the only thing that I desire, because you are everything. You are strength. You are security. You are power. You are influence. There's nothing else. Everything else is fleeting, and that's what the world has, but you are the one that I desire. Verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail. And I've been there, and you've been there. You've been there where your heart is just empty and just tired. It's failed. You've been there where so many things are going on in your life, and you can't even process, and you're there weak and limp and lame and not able to move, where there's no strength. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And that's where we need to come. The Hebrew understanding of when they come into the temple to seek God, their understanding is that God breathes truth into them as they come into the temple. And maybe, you know, that can be an imagery that we have as we come to EMP today, that we come so that God can breathe truth into our life. My flesh, my heart, they fail. And they fail over and over and over and over again. But God is the strength of my heart. This morning, I was just as I was walking here, just saying that over and over again, filling my spirit. God, you are the strength. God is my strength. God is my strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. That is truth. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. That is the truth. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell all of your deeds. May that be our prayer and our meditation this morning, that the truth is that those who are unfaithful will perish, but as for me, it is good to be near God, and I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I encourage you this morning to just meditate on that psalm, to memorize it, to have it deep in your heart. Whom have I in heaven but you? In earth I have nothing that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads. Lord, just to be honest before you, we look at our surroundings and many times we get jealous and envious. And Lord, I ask myself, why am I doing this? Do I need to continue to do this? Or shall I try something else? Shall I try something else? Lord, during those times where doubt creeps into my mind, we come into your sanctuary. And it is there in the sanctuary of God that I understand. I understand that the world doesn't have it better. I understand that God, you are my strength. Because Lord, my flesh and my heart are failing me right now. Lord, would you be my strength? Lord, would you be my portion? Would you be my everything? It is good to be near you. So Lord, we come. Lord, we come humbly before you. And we desire you. Let's worship together. What a great song to sing this morning, to be still and to know that He is God, that when the oceans flood and the storms rage on, to know that He is still God. And so let's pray and let's ask the Lord to just be that calm and be that strength for those who are sick and those who have cancer and those who are struggling with their therapy, with their chemo. Let's just begin to pray for healing over those with cancer, and most importantly, that they would know that God is still God. And let's bless them. Let's pray for those on the list, and let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for the salvation of those who are sick with some serious and complicated illnesses. And let's ask the Lord to just to move powerfully in their lives. And let's ask the Lord to reveal Himself that they would receive Christ and salvation. So let's lift them up right now. Let's continue to pray for those who have other sicknesses and illnesses, and let's ask for healing for them. So let's pray for them now. Let's pray for those who are needing employment and looking for jobs. Let's ask the Lord to continue to sustain them and give them grace during this time. Let's pray for doors to open. Let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for our mission focus this morning. Let's lift up North Korea, and let's continue to ask the Lord to make His presence known there. And let's pray for South Korea. As you may have heard of the disaster with the ferry, and the nation is in mourning, and that affects everything. So let's ask the Lord to allow Christ to shine light in the midst of this dark time. Let's pray for Japan, and let's pray for Pastor Mitsunobu and Pastor Sophia. Let's ask the Lord to bless Japan and make His name known in that place. So let's lift up these areas in Asia today. Let's pray for them right now. Can we now cover in prayer our intercessory prayer team who are on the front lines spiritually for us, who pray for us, who lift us up? Let's lift them up and let's pray for them. Let's pray for the well, that the Lord would use them to minister to the hearts of people and to healing. Let's pray for Cascade, and let's lift up the leaders of these three ministries and ask the Lord to guard them, to protect them, to guide them, to use them, and to lead them, give them wisdom in all things as they minister. Let's lift up those who lift us up. Let's pray. pray for men's and women's ministries. Ask the Lord to use them to really develop and grow up the men and women in our church, to be godly men and women, to be fathers, husbands, wives, and mothers. And so let's lift up men's and women's ministries right now. Father, we just ask God for the men to rise and be strong and be examples, Lord, and be heads of households, Lord. We just pray for women, Lord, that they would know their gifts and that they would be released to use their gifts. House churches are on break this week, so let's pray for the outreaches that are happening. There's SP Lights and the Homie Outreach, and let's ask the Lord to use them, that they would be the hands and feet of Christ as they serve those who are the lost, the least, and the last in our city. And so let's pray for these two outreaches right now. Lord, who do we have in heaven besides you? There's nothing on earth that we desire. Lord, though our heart and our flesh fails, God, you are the strength of our heart and our portion forever. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this morning. And God, we just pray that we would receive that truth today. And God, we just ask for your protection and we ask for your blessing as we go out. May this day be filled with wonder. May this day be filled with grace. And Lord, we just want to continue to seek your face. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. May you experience God as your strength today and have a wonderful time seeking the Lord. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.